conditions in your life, pain in your body, disease in your body, financial trouble or situations or anything, marriage, children, anything that may be going on, the Lord has come here to help you today. When we begin this text, we find ourselves with the king by the name of Saul, King Saul, who was the father of Jonathan. We find in our text that Saul has been pursuing David. The word of the Lord tells us that upon a day came in the riders of war, and the women began to sing. And on one side they were singing, Saul had killed his thousands. But the women would answer on the other side, and they would say, yes, but David has killed his 10,000s. And the Bible tells us that envy and strife and jealousy and murder and hatred entered into the heart of King Saul. From that moment forward, he had purposed in himself to take the life of David. He saw David as a threat. He saw David as someone that the people loved more than him. And Saul began to wrap up his time and wrap up his energies and wrap up his efforts in destroying David. But what Saul did not realize is that Samuel had already anointed David to be king. And I want to tell you something here today, devil. I'm just going to talk to the devil for a moment. I want to tell you something, devil. You cannot destroy the anointing of God. Hallelujah. You can throw all the javelins at it you want. You can chase it all you want. You can go after it all you want. You can form all the armies you want. I'm here to tell you, devil, when God anoints, that's final. When God touches, it's final. My God, I wish somebody would get excited, because what you need to understand today is God has a covenant with you, and the devil cannot break it. The devil cannot destroy it. And if you will get a hold of it, God can deliver. God will set free. Somebody shout, I got a covenant with God. In fact, what you do find is 6 years later, you can be seated 6 years later, Saul and Jonathan, it's up on a hill called Gilboa. Philistines had come into war against Israel again. Saul collects his mighty army together. He gets his mighty warriors. He takes his sons. It's another message altogether, but Jonathan should have never been on that hill. When he made a covenant with David, he no longer belonged to Saul. He belonged to the anointing. But he chose to go with his father. And the word of the Lord tells us that upon the hill of Gilboa, the Philistines took the life of Saul, Jonathan, the other sons of Saul. David's heart was stricken. The word tells us that he was very sad, very distraught. However, he did not have the time to mourn and do the things that were proper. Instead, David immediately went into war. When you begin to study the word of God, he began to fight in battle. He had to fight against the Syrians and the Moabites and the Philistines. And these wars went on for 10 solid years. But finally, the day came when David found himself in the corridor of his palace. He was walking up and down his marble floors, looking at his marble-coated walls, looking at the frames of pictures that were framed in gold, and all of the beauty and the glory that God had brought upon him, because he was the anointed of God. He was enjoying the pleasures and the gifts that God and his anointing brings. You see, when you're anointed of the Lord, there's benefits that come with it that you can never buy, you can never purchase. You can't live good enough to get it, and you can't live bad enough to lose it. Listen, I love the anointing of God. Don't misunderstand my statement. We do the best we can for God. But what I'm telling you, you can't earn what God gives you. It comes by His grace, by His love, by His goodness. I'll prove it to you. You think David deserved it? David was an adulterer and a murderer. He was an adulterer and a murderer. He didn't deserve the good things of God, but when the anointing comes, it comes with benefits. And then God begins to work on you. God begins to shape you. God begins to change you. And He takes you from what you were, and He makes you something into something that He can use for the glory of His kingdom. Here is David. He's in all this luxury and all of this beauty. And then God stood up on His throne and said, "Wait a minute, David. I think there's something you're forgetting. You're not the only one promised this. You're not the only one that has a right to sit at the king's table, eat the king's meat, drink the king's drink, wear the king's clothes. David, you made a covenant. I know it was 16 years ago, and I know it slipped your mind, but I come to remind you, when God makes a covenant, He never forgets." He said, "David, you made a covenant. You told Jonathan you would bless him. You would bless his seed. As long as there was one left, you would bless him." And David began to cry out, "Is there one? Is there not just one that is left of the seed of Jonathan, of the seed of Saul, that I might bless him?" David began to get this desire. I must fulfill the covenant I've made. I must fulfill the covenant I made. And I tell you the beauty about this. Let me try to get us where we're going. Watch this. Only 16 years after the covenant, David is having to search the kingdom for just one descendant. Is there anybody? Is there one of all the sons of Saul, of all the grandsons of Saul, of all of the concubines, all of the ones that come in and sons and daughters that were born of the king? They begin to search. Is there not one? Finally, a servant of David remembers. And he comes to David. Ziba comes to David and he says, "David, I remember one. I know where one is." Now, there's two things we can glean for that. The first thing is, friend, when you rebel against God, everything you love, everything you know, everything you have is on its way out. Because it only took 16 years after Saul's rebellion for everything that he knew to be wiped out. But the other side of it, when God has a covenant, He'll do whatever it takes to preserve. What are you saying, Pastor? This is what I'm saying. I know you've been out in the world. I know you tried your drugs. I know you tried your liquor. I know you tried your nicotine. I know you messed with your women and your men. I know you did things that weren't right. Listen, and your rebellion against God has cost you a lot. Your rebellion against God has cost you everything. Maybe your health, maybe your marriage, maybe your job. I don't know, but this I do know. God has preserved the most important thing, and that is your soul. And God has brought your soul to the house of God because He has a covenant. He's going to fulfill His covenant. He brought you here today to bless you, to help you. Clap your hands to the Lord. Clap your hands to the Lord. Thirty-seven years of disobedience cost Saul everything. But God had a covenant. I don't know how he did it. I don't know when he did it. I just know he did. In fact, we read a little bit about this man called Mephibosheth. And the servant, when the war of Gilboa was taking place, the servant grabbed this little child called Mephibosheth. And the Bible says the servant fled with the child to escape the spirit's life. But while the servant was running with the child, she tripped and the child fell. And both his ankles were broken. And she grabbed up the baby, wrapped the ankles the best she could. But she wasn't a surgeon. The bones grew back crippled. The child was never able to walk from that day forward. Now it's 16 years later, and God moves on David. Ziba tells David, I know of one whose name is Mephibosheth, and he's living in the land of Lodibor. Friend, David got excited. It didn't matter that Ziba didn't say, I know a village. I know where there's 100 descendants of Saul. David, I know where there's thousands of... No, I know where there is one. And David got excited. He said, go get my best horse. Get my best robe. Get all the best food. Get the jewels. Find my best soldiers. Put them on their best horses. Get my best footmen. I want you to march out to Mephibosheth's house. And I want you to bring him back here as royalty. As royalty. I'm going to try to get us where I'm going. I'm just not sure I'm going to be able to do it in enough time. And so can you imagine? Now, Mephibosheth knows he's a descendant of Saul. In case you're wondering what happens to the old king's kids, let me tell you. When the new king takes over, especially if they think the old king's a threat, then the old king's youngins are out of here. If they don't leave, they will be killed. They are outcasts. They are shoved out. They don't want anyone giving loyalty to nobody but the king. So can you imagine? Here is Mephibosheth. For 16 years, he's 16 years old now. He can't walk. He just, everywhere as he goes, he just got to kind of, I'm probably going to mess this suit up, baby. He just got to kind of drag himself across the floor. Can you imagine when he began to hear the sound of horses' hooves, made his way over to his window, and he peeked up there, and there he saw the royal colors of the king. Well, at first you'd have thought he got excited, but I'm here to tell you he didn't. I'll tell you what he did. He began to fear for his life. Because he said to himself, he finally found me. He finally sought me out. He's finally located me. Now he's come to kill me, to destroy the last living seed of Jonathan. That's the way sometimes men and women are when they come into the presence of God. You're so full of guilt, so heavy burdened with sin, so laid down with the world, you think God's going to condemn you. You think the church is against you. Honey, I got news for you. That's where we came from. That's where God found us. He found us living in sin. He found us in dirt. He found us in adultery. He found us in drugs. He found us as wife beaters. He found us as child molesters. He found us in every inconceivable sin you can imagine. But he had a covenant. He had a covenant. And when he came to us, my God, I can only see it. I wish I had a fake door to knock on, but I can only see it as that big soldier. Come down here, Brother Kelly. Hobble on down, son. Where's, come here, Cameron. Get over here, hotshot. You stand right there. Get down. You can't walk, son. Get down. You're crippled. They broke your ankles when you were just a baby. You've never known what it is to walk. You've always strutted yourself across the floor. That's why you're dirty. That's why you're undone. That's why you have no self-esteem. There's nothing about you that's good. Everything in your mind is cast down. Everything in your spirit says horrible things about you. You don't even know why you lived. You're not even sure why you're still here. That they should have killed you when you was a child. Nobody loves you. Nobody wants you. Nobody cares about you. You're an outcast. You've lived by yourself in this little hut on the outside of the city, dragging yourself across a dirt floor. And now, knock on the door. And your heart is beating. And so you just kind of make it up in your mind. I'm a dead. And the giant says,
open the door.
Open the door. That's good enough. Yeah. How about, is anybody home?
Lefebvre-Chef, are you in there?
It's even better. Since you know the end of the story, I'm not sure he knows his name, though. Is anybody home?
Is anybody home?
Out comes this little squeaky, defeated, undone, despondent, discouraged, depressed. Do I have to keep going on the list? Huh? Woo! Yeah, I'm in here. And the soldier throws the door open. And he says, hey, you're the guy we're looking for. He begins to shake. Finally, the big fat soldier moves out of the way. And right in the door is a beautiful white horse with a royal robe draped over it. And the soldier comes. The soldier comes to the horse. He takes off the royal robe and he brings it over to Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth doesn't understand it, but he wraps it around him. Then Mephibosheth can't walk. He can't walk. So the big fat soldier picks him up. Picks him up. Huh? Come here, David. Puts him on the back of the horse. Huh? All right, we begin to go. And Mephibosheth says, where we're going? We're going to the king's palace. Why are we going to the king's palace? Because the king wants you to eat within the day. The king wants you to dine within the day. The king's come to bless you today. You'll never live in sin again, Mephibosheth. You'll never be an outcast again. God has a covenant. God has a covenant with you. It don't matter how long it takes. Come on, come on, come on, come on. But you don't understand. You don't understand. I'm lame on both feet. I can't enter the palace. I can't go to the king's table. Mephibosheth, the covenant has no restrictions. Mephibosheth, the covenant has no prerequisites. The covenant takes you as you are. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Give God praise. I wonder today, were there any other Mephibosheths in the building? God found you in sin. God found you as an outcast. God found you when you were undone. Nobody loved you. Nobody wanted you. But God loves you. God had a covenant. God remembered. God spared you. God brought you in. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Let's stand. I'm going to bring this to a close. I'm going to skip all this stuff in here. It's just a bunch of junk anyway. God's got something he's going to do for somebody here in just a few moments. They found Mephibosheth. And I'm trying to find the meanings of his dad and things. I put him in here. I just gotta find him real quick. You can't ever find anything you want, is it? Here we go. So they found Mephibosheth. You know where he was? Yeah. But he was in the house of Michar. I want you to watch God. He was in the house of Michar. It wasn't his house. He was poor. But God, even before he was saved, provided. He was in the house of Michar. Do you know what that word means? It means the property of God. He took this little lame boy, and he had a servant by the name of Ziba carry this little lame outcast son of Jonathan who deserved to die. And God had already put a house aside. He went to this door, but the door was closed. He went to that door, but the door was closed. No, we don't want to take him in. We fear the new king. No, we don't want to have anything to do with that. Finally, he makes it to a house. Mr. Michar comes out, and he answers the knock on the door, and he says, yes. And the servant says, this is the descendant of Saul, the son of Jonathan. His feet are broken. Will you care for him? Of course, I will care for him. The property of God. You see, what Ziba, what Mephibosheth didn't understand because he was just a baby was that he was bought. What a covenant. He didn't even belong to himself. He belonged to a covenant. And the covenant made sure everything was going to be okay. He was in the house of Michar. Now watch this. House of Michar, property of God. Michar, who was the son of Emmuel, which means my people are strong. You know why the devil fears you? You say, but I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. I'm a wife abuser. I'm a horrible mother. I'm a drum this. I'm that. I'm a sinner. I'm a pornographer. I'm all of these things. Oh, you know why the devil's keeping you bound? Because inside of you is the power and the ability to destroy the kingdom of Satan. God bought you. God bought you. He was the property of God. People are strong, but he lived in Lodibor, which means a dry desert wilderness, an outcast. And that's where you are. You just don't realize it. You're in the wilderness of sin. Everything's gone wrong in your life. You can't seem to overcome anything. You feel weak, but what you don't know, you're really strong. You feel an outcast, but what you don't know is you really belong to God. You're the property of God, but you're living in Lodibor. I am so thankful. When the soldier showed up, you know what the name Mephibosheth means? It means idol breaker. I'm glad when the soldier showed up, he said, I'm tired of this old filth. I know my daddy's servant put me here. I hate to break tradition, but look what tradition's done for me. Look what tradition's done for me. Listen, this isn't about religion. This isn't about some tradition of mom or dad. Come here. Brother, pick me up by my arms, under my arms. I can't walk. So bring me over to the chair. Oh, hold on, put me in yet. What are you doing? You can help me. Yeah. Wait, this is the king's room. I can't be in the king's room. That's the king's chair, right? It's at the king's table. I can't. And the soldier grabs him, puts him. No, I can't. You, no. Oh, I'm so unworthy to be here. My father rebelled, forsook you, David. My family's never lived for God. I've never lived for God. I don't belong here. And David says, you don't understand, Mephibosheth. It's not about what you've done. It's about the covenant. And the covenant says, you're going to eat at the king's table. And you're going to wear the king's clothes. And we're going to take you out of Lodibar. You say, but Pastor, what does that have to do with me? And I'm closing. I could stay another hour on this, but I'll just stay a minute. I'll tell you what it has to do with you. For God so loved the world. You say, God made a covenant with Adam. He said, the day's going to come when I will bruise his head. He will bruise my heel. I will bruise his head. And through the ages of time, men talked about the covenant. Isaiah said, a child's going to be born, a son's going to be given. The government's going to be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's going to come. Ezekiel talked about it. Jeremiah talked about it. Daniel talked about him. Nehemiah, it kept going until finally a voice out of nowhere came crying and it said, this day is born a Savior. In a covenant with every eye closed, every mind on God. Listen to the preacher. And a covenant was made on Calvary. And on the Calvary, the covenant was this. I will shed my blood for the sins of the world. It's no longer about Jews or Gentiles or Samaritans. It's no longer about rich or poor, educated, uneducated. It's no longer about popular, unpopular, light, dislike. Good or bad? No. That's not what the covenant was about. You see, there's no restrictions on the blood. Jesus said, whosoever will. Let him come.
It doesn't matter if you lived in Lodibar or if you lived in the king's palace. It doesn't matter if you're an educated professor or just an unlearned little child that never even graduated out of elementary school. You barely read, you hardly write. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you've always lived that perfect life or if you were a very bad individual and did things that weren't right and hurt other people. You see, what you don't understand is that you were bought with a price. And even though you've been dragging yourself through the world, I wish I had some. Something hard. Here you go. I'll break it. My phone. You drag yourself through the world of sin, but you've walked into this place today, and this sound has never stopped. During every song, during every speaker, during the preaching, and right now, God's angel is knocking at your door. Mephibosheth! Are you in there? They told me this is where you live. I know it looks bad. I know things aren't going well for you. But I got good news for you, Mephibosheth. The king has sent for you. Every eye closed. Every mind on God. I don't know who you are, sir, ma'am, young man, young lady. But I know you feel the pounding on your heart. And it's not a pounding of condemnation. Oh no. It's the pounding of a covenant that was made with your soul 2,000 years ago. 6,000 if you want to go all the way back to Adam. It's a pounding, knocking on the door of your heart. Says, will you come home, Mephibosheth? Will you come home? Will you let me take you out of this place? I know you can't walk, but we brought a nice horse for you. I know it's cold, but we have a royal robe for you to put on. I know you've never been to the palace, but that's where we're going. The king's waiting on you. He's got a table spread. He's so excited. He's so excited you came today. He's so excited you're here. If you could just feel after God right now, you would know He's excited. You came. You came. You were willing to break the idols of your old life. You were willing to leave the old ways of sin. You came. You came. It's so good to see you, Mephibosheth. I'm sorry it took so long, but I'm here for you now. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost calling right now. This altar is open wherever you are. Ma'am, please don't hold back. Please, please, I beg you. I stand in front of your door in your little house in the wilderness, and I knock upon your door as God's man calling you. Please, please come. Please, please get up from where you are. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let him convince you that you belong to him, that you belong to sin, that you belong to these things that have a hold of your life, that you will always be depressed, always discouraged, always in the condition that you're in, that you've made too many mistakes, that God would never want you. Listen, that's not what the covenant's about. Oh no, the covenant's about your soul. And if you'll step out from where you are, sir, and make your way down to this altar, don't let pride hold you back. Don't let miss, because you don't understand everything, don't let that hold you back. Step out from where you are. Make your way down to this altar. I belong to the King. I don't belong to sin. I don't belong in this little hut. I don't belong in this life. I was made for something better than this. God, I belong to God. I'm the property of God. He bought me. He bought me. What a price. He shed His blood for me. He redeemed me. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to the devil. I belong to God. I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm coming to you. Come on, prodigal son. Come on, backslider. Make your way. Oh, yeah. The devil's trying to tell you you've done too much. The devil's trying to tell you you'll never be forgiven. The devil's trying to tell you you'll never fit back in. But, oh, I got good news for you. The Father's waiting on you. If you'll make your way, He's got the fatted calf ready to go. He's got the robe and the ring and the shoes. He's ready to bless you. He's ready to take you back. He made a covenant. He made a covenant. You belong to Him. You belong to Him. Let's make our way to the altar for those that will come. You might want to just come thank the Lord that one day He found you, that one day He brought you home, that one day He redeemed you. I thank you for it, Lord. Let's turn this into a powerful altar call.
How He loves us so.
Maybe there's somebody next to you. You might want to bring them down to an altar.
How He loves us.
Just say, let's go pray together. Let's go pray together.
How He loves us.
He shed His blood on Calvary. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Oh, that's it. Call out to him. Call out to him. Call out to him.
He is jealous for me.
Call out to him.
Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory,
I realize
just how beautiful you are.
He's touching you. He's touching you. He loves you. You out of Lodibar. He's here to bring you out of wilderness. He's here to bring you out and bring you up. Confess your sins. Give your heart to him. Give your life to him. He's here to bless you.
Thank you.
He's here to bless you.
Sing that again. Say he loves us.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Oh, God, we call on you. Oh, God, we call on you. We call on you.
We are his portion. And he is our prize.
Thank you for your redemption.
Drawn to redemption.
Thank you for your goodness.
In his eyes. If
thank
grace
you for your kindness.
Is an ocean.
Thank you for your mercy.
We're all sinking.
Thank you for your love.
So heaven meets.
Thank you for your forgiveness.
Like a beautiful kiss. My heart burns silently inside of
oh,
my
yes.
I don't have time to maintain
yes.
these regrets when I think about
give everything, give everything, give everything,
that
give
he
everything.
Loves us.
Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves
that's
us.
Church, hallelujah.
Oh, how
it's your time.
He loves
it's your day. God has come in to meet you today. Come on, not tomorrow, not Tuesday, not next Sunday, but it's your day, it's your time. Hallelujah. God has come to meet you today. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Reach for him. Hallelujah. Reach for him. Reach for him. He's nigh to you, church. My brother, he's nigh to you right here. He has come to meet your need. He's not too busy. He's not occupied. He's come to meet your need, brother. He's come to meet your need, sister. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. God never forgets you, understand? Sometimes it seems as if you've been forgotten about. It seems as if everybody around you is receiving from God. It seems as if everybody around you are growing in God and receiving what they need from God. But the Bible says 16 years later, 16 years later, God remembered the covenant, hallelujah, that he made to Jonathan. And the Bible says that Mephibosheth was not mindful, but God remembered his promise. So just in case you may seem, you may feel as if God has forgotten about you, maybe you've had some dreams, maybe some prophecies, maybe someone has spoke over your life, and it seems as if it has not come to pass yet. My son is not saved yet by the power. My daughter is not saved yet. My wife, my husband, my mother and my father has not been saved yet. Listen, God has not forgotten about you. Maybe you've been seeking the Holy Ghost. Maybe you've been tarrying and seeking it, and maybe you have not been filled. Today is your day. Today is your day to receive it. God has come here today to meet your need, to meet your need. The God of the universe has come today in this sanctuary to meet your need. Maybe you're saying, brother, I've got the Holy Ghost, I've received it, but I have not been baptized in Jesus' name. I have not yet been baptized in the only saving name there is. Brother, I'm not sure. I've been baptized, but I can't remember how it was done. I'm just not sure. It's been so long ago. I was 8, I was 10, I was 12. If that's you right here today, please signify. Let us know today.